Hey everyone, welcome back to F-Words. Today we're bringing Ben back to the show to talk about the Miami Heat and our current matchup versus the Bucks in the first round of the playoffs. Excited to recap the season and series so far, so let's get started. What's up, Ben? How are you? You're a frequent flyer on the F-Words show, so catch us up on what's been going on your side of things.
I'm here in New Orleans. City's slowly starting to open back up. Gigs are starting to come back, which is like super, super exciting. Like Frenchman Street, the past couple weekends have been popping off like more than it's had in the past like year, which is like really, really great for like both the local scene and there's also like musicians here.
Yeah, definitely. And even like with the different cities popping up and blowing up, Miami has been too. Tonight's the game three of the series versus the Bucks. We're having 17,000 people in the American Airlines Arena, and the stadium only holds 21,000, so it's going to be a pretty packed house. Excited that things are like getting back to normal and everything.
Yeah, no, as long as people are just getting their vaccines, like we're going to be lit by the fall.
Exactly, and just like I think the energy that it's bringing to the NBA with just having like people in the stadium is so crazy. Like MSG last night was literally electric, and you can just see how happy it makes the players to just have that energy back and have home court advantage after like over a year of kind of having that atmosphere in sports.
It's funny, I've kind of like forgotten about that idea of like home court advantage. Like I've been watching the Bucks Heat past two games, and like even though the Bucks won the last two games, and I'm like, damn, like this series is over, but I'm like, wait, no, we're about to go home. Like it's only the first two games, we could win the next four and it'll be over in six.
Exactly. I think it's definitely a tough matchup, especially in comparison to last year. It seemed like we had key players that were able to kind of maybe play a little more uniquely against the Bucks. And obviously Giannis was kind of hurt during our series. But before we get into the current matchup, why don't we just go back and kind of talk about our views of the season so far? You know, for me, I definitely thought the bubble scene was going to be weird, but I think this season has been even weirder, in my opinion.
Oh, completely, because now, I mean, we're getting back into stadiums, but, I mean, empty stadiums. For the most part, up until about All-Star break, most of the stadiums were at, like, what, 5, 10% capacity. That's been super weird. I think the biggest thing to come out of this season is all the playoff teams from last year have been just, like, ripped apart by injuries in the beginning of the season because they had, like, a shortened off season. You had basically the Heat have been, this is their third season within a year because you had the last season that got canceled, they had the bubble, and now we're playing this season. So, no, injuries have been a huge thing for the Heat this season. It wasn't up until about a month and a half ago that we finally were like back at full strength.
Yeah, I agree. And like, honestly, even as a fan, like just, you know, getting so emotionally attached to what was happening in the bubble and our bubble run, I think it was just because there was such a long period of time last summer where there were so many uncertainties, and then to come into the fall and kind of have that continuous playoff stream that like no one thought we were going to get that far. By the time it was like the off season and then the new season, which was like literally I think 8 full weeks, like I was still exhausted as a fan watching those games. Like, I think even this season, I haven't been able to fully get back into things. And then, like, you know, I wasn't ever expecting the Heat to come off strong just because I knew how tired our team was. And you know, like, the hype that we had at the end of last season is really hard to match up.
Yeah.
But I think, like, for so long, I would just say to myself, like, if in 2 weeks we're still not winning, like, I'll be worried. If in 2 weeks we're still not winning, I'll be worried. And then all of a sudden it was like months into the season and we're still not winning. And I'm like, shit, like we have issues.
We've been super streaky. Like we'll go on like a 4 or 5 game win streak and then we'll go on a road trip and lose 6 in a row. So it's like, right. there's been moments where the Heat team has looked like they've looked in the past. Sorry, this plane's flying over.
No worries.
Give me a second. It's like loud as shit. Cool. There's been moments where this Heat team's like looked really, really good, but then there's also the moments where we look like that team from like 5 years ago where Dion Waiters was starting for us. Like,
yeah,
it's been a real up and down season. And kind of the take I've been seeing on Twitter is like, no, this season we got to look at it as if it's a completely different season than like what we did in the bubble, which I agree with for the most part. But we still got our core. We still got Jimmy. We still got Bam. We still got Duncan. We added a couple new players, but no, our team's like pretty much, I still say, still the same.
Yeah, I think honestly, like I was sad to see Jay Crowder go. I think he was a really important piece for us to have. I think that on games where we just weren't flowing well, he would be able to step up and hit the clutch threes. He was also able to be aggressive and drive to the basket. And like on game two versus the Bucks in Milwaukee, I think like that was the key piece we were missing in a game like that. It seems like besides Jimmy and Bam, we don't really have people on our team that are like super aggressive, and I think I miss that energy.
No, completely. Like one of the biggest like departures from the offseason, we lost three big men. I mean, fuck Myles Leonard, but he was still a big man. And Kelly Olynyk, I was one of the biggest Kelly Olynyk fans. Like he when he when he was like hitting threes, it was kind of unstoppable to stop him.
Right.
Like Twitter was calling him Kelly Bird, which I just fucking love. And then I
Yeah.
mean Jay Crowder, yeah, no, he was that big man. He could play the big four sometimes, even as a small five. He was wet from three at times, and then like that big physical presence that sometimes you need. I mean, the one player I could say that's really filled that role for us is Dwayne Dedman. Man's been a beast in like the paint
Yeah.
for us.
I agree. I do think Kelly O was like such an another unique piece that the Heat had. You know, just by like looking at him and kind of just seeing, like, I don't know if he necessarily even had like a highlight reel just because he's so hit or miss. And I
Yeah.
think that like it's so interesting to see how our team has just like shifted from trading him away. He went to the Rockets, then we brought Oladipo in, and of course he's hurt. But even just knowing the style of play Oladipo brings to the table, I don't know if having him in our like core rotation during the playoffs would have helped the problems we're having right now.
Essentially, like he, like none is stepping into the role Oladipo would have stepped into, and I think none at times can be a better shooter. Where Oladipo is probably the better defender, I think none with his cohesiveness with the team, like he really like, has that like Heat culture within him. Like I don't know, I think I believe it. I loved Oladipo. I've been wanting him on the Heat for the last 2, 3 years, and then we finally got him, and of course, injury kind of took him away from us, but.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like I really like I don't know. I didn't know how much I wanted him on the team. I don't know. I
I'll take
think
him for a second rounder, though. That's like easy.
yeah, definitely. Like now that he's injured and he didn't really stick well, I don't know how much he's gonna be like making a difference on our team, but I do praise Kendrick Nunn for the progress he's had this year. Last season he was kind of a bench warmer, and then Myers Leonard got hurt, so then he kind of stepped into that bigger role and then was on the come up, and then right before COVID hit, he was just like doing really well, and then of course COVID hit, and then he got COVID right before the bubble and was
Yeah.
never really able to like catch up. And I think that's underrated because we're talking a lot about how many injuries there's been this season, and part of Jimmy's problem this season was how like tired he was from COVID, so many players, like how much it was lasting for them throughout the season. And I think because Nunn was like one of the only NBA players, it seems like, to go into the bubble with COVID, like we weren't really like understanding that take of his. And I think that I'm like proud of him for kind of stepping up in this past year. You know, he essentially took Myers Leonard's spot twice, in my opinion. Obviously, that was like a very interesting part of the Heat season we can talk about in a few minutes. But in terms of trades and stuff, Oladipo, I don't know if they would last. I'm happy we didn't trade away Duncan or Tyler Hero. What are your thoughts about those pieces being traded away?
I'm definitely happy we're sticking. I mean, Duncan Robinson could be a future like Ray Allen, Steph Curry type player if he like. I mean, he's been setting records every day he plays for the Heat. So like, I really enjoy him. Tyler Hero, I'm a little bit disappointed with him this season overall. I was expecting him to really take that next step, maybe get into like 15, 18 points a game, get that 3-point percentage up. But no, I mean, he's a dog. He like gets boards, he gets assists. He's really working on his game. So I mean, I'm excited to see what he brings for the rest of the playoffs. Because I mean, we'll beat the Bucks. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And in the next season, we'll see what happens to him. I mean, on the contrary, if we have to trade him away to get someone like Kyle Lowry, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I understand that. I think that it was really great to see. I think the Heat has always had the mentality to kind of have more veteran players. Like the only time I'm really remembering like there being strong young players on our team was when we had like Norris Cole, Mario Chalmers. Like, that was a different vibe, you know, for
Even
so
still,
long.
we had LeBron and D-Wade at
Yeah, exactly.
the
Like, all of our teams have been so veteran based that it was honestly refreshing last season to see Tyler as a rookie kind of step into that role. It's
time.
been interesting that Precious hasn't been that way. And I think maybe in the minds of some people, Precious was going to be that like other big body that was maybe stepping in for Jay, but he hasn't really come into himself. I'm curious to see how he'll develop, but I do think it's a good thing. And there's nothing wrong with being surrounded by all of those vets on our team, especially with Iguodala. UD obviously got literally ejected from the only game he played in this year, which is
Amazing.
awesome. But just being around that energy, I think good things are on the come up for our young team too.
And I also one of the biggest things that's like super like under talked about is we didn't have an off season. There was no summer league. There was no Vegas summer league. There was no like full like 2 month, 3 month kind of install, kind of like break everything down, build it back up. We really went straight from the finals right into off season training, right back into a season. So someone like Precious, who like really has raw talent for a big man, wasn't able to develop anything, and he kind of got pushed aside for people like Kelly and Miles were kind of taking that role at the beginning of the season, but then Dwayne Dedman came in and basically took Precious's role.
Yeah, definitely. And perfect segue. We've been talking a lot about people we've maybe traded away or have stepped into a new role. We did add three key pieces this season: Trevor Ariza, Dwayne Dedman, and Nemanja. So, like, how do you think they've kind of been helpful on our team? I also want to talk about Max Strus. I think he's a great piece too.
We could talk about like the kind of like the two-way players we've been having, Gabe Vincent and Max Strus. But I think the one, signing, getting what's his name, Trevor Ariza at the deadline was one of the best moves we could have made. And that's like a true veteran presence. He's been playing in the league for 14, 16 years, knows how to play defense, knows where and when to shoot a ball. And also, we needed someone, a big four to help Bam inside. Because, Bam, he's our max player. He's the future of our franchise, but he's still young. It's only his third, fourth season. He's still like learning how to like really control his huge body.
Yeah, definitely. And it's crazy to even think how Trevor Ariza even came into the Heat, that he was kind of attached to the whole Myers-Leonard drama. And if you're listening to this and you weren't sure what happened with Myers-Leonard, he was on a Twitch stream and got caught saying an anti-Semitic slur live. After that kind of video surfaced and people were aware of it, the team suspended him indefinitely. Eventually leading to him being traded to OKC for Trevor Ariza, but there was no guarantee he would play in OKC. And to my knowledge, he's been inactive on both social media
He got
and
released by OKC.
he got released. So he's been inactive in both the NBA and on multiple social media platforms. Just kind of looking back on that scandal, I guess you could call it. It was really interesting how the Heat handled it because, obviously, South Florida is such a massive place and massive population of both Jewish people and Holocaust survivors. So it's super interesting to see how that all unfolded. I'm happy that the Heat were able to kind of stand up against that type of anti-Semitic aura that he was maybe bringing to the team. I do think it was a little weird how they handled it and just traded him off. I think that was like also kind of done with budgetary minds and a budgetary mindset in order, which was like a little weird to me. But overall, I'm happy that I don't think he was contributing much to our team in general. Obviously, the Miami Heat don't stand for any sort of racial or religious, any type of prejudice at all. So I'm happy that that was wrapped up as well, and we got Trevor from it too.
I'm happy to kind of set the precedent, whereas like, hey, if you're gonna start saying homophobic, racist, anti-Semitic stuff, like that's it. Like, Mickey Arison, the president of the team, he's a Jew. Like, you gotta kind of stand up, and especially everything that's kind of going on right now with anti-Semitism. Like, I think it's really important to stand up for that stuff. I'm wearing it right now, United in Black. The Heat have been really good. NBA in general have been really good in the past year about like standing up for kind of voices that haven't been able to be heard, whether it's like the Black Lives Matter movement. They haven't mentioned anything about Palestine, but no, like all sex trafficked women, like there's stepping up for all the people, and especially what they've been doing with the WNBA. The WNBA has been doing work in like social justice.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it's even great to see, like, I saw a tweet the other day. I believe that viewer ratings, like the amount of people that have been watching, are up 25% for the WNBA this season from last, which is awesome. I've been getting a little bit more into it. It's definitely an area that I'm trying to kind of really start to support, and they can ball. Like, it's a great league, and I'm excited to see the growth of that.
It's also exciting. They're starting to finally build like superstars. That you have that girl Sabrina who had like a triple double. You got Candace Parker, who's also on NBA Tonight on TNT. Like, it's kind of cool. Like, that's the biggest issue with growing a league. Like, you got to get some superstars in there, and they're starting to really make some like homegrown superstars, and that's what makes a league exciting.
Yeah, for sure. And then kind of, you know, you're wearing the United in Black shirt. It's interesting, you know. The Miami Heat playoffs were themed white hot for so long, but before that we had Back in Black, and I feel like the United in Black theme is still, you know, paying like homage to our original Back in Black theme, but now just kind of having a stronger message. So, you know, this is perfect segue into the current stance of the playoffs. Game 3 tonight versus the Bucks, 7:30 EST time. What are your initial thoughts about, you know, the way that the series has gone so far?
Look, game one, like, that could have been any game. I remember I was at a bar mitzvah this past weekend, and we're all like, we had about 20 minutes until the start. We're all huddled around my uncle's phone watching OT going crazy. And I mean, Chris Middleton made just a ridiculous shot to win the game. Like, sometimes a shot's just a shot that you can't be even mad about. Game two was disappointing for sure. We looked like absolute trash out there. But also, we got to remember, about to go back to home court, about to have 17,000 fans screaming their fucking head off. Hopefully, we got to readjust. There's a couple keys. I think Bam got to be more aggressive. He's been very passive. Stephen A. Smith said it best about Jimmy. Like, Jimmy got to take control of this team. He's the superstar. He's the face of Miami right now. And yeah, there's other people got to step up. Tyler got his gun, get his shot right. Duncan's going to be Duncan. Duncan's going to be fine. He'll hit 7 threes a game. I think we gotta be aggressive. Like, obviously Brook Lopez and Giannis are scary in the paint. Like, that's probably one of the best paints in the league besides Jokic, who's I think should be MVP.
Yeah.
No, we just gotta be aggressive. We gotta take it to the basket. Bam, gotta find his spot. Gotta stay away from the 25-foot mid-range jumpers, because those aren't effective shots for him.
Yeah, I agree. I think the biggest problem with Bam as he starts to step into a bigger role on the team is that he isn't consistent on offense. And like, in all of the games that he doesn't perform well in his post-game interviews, all he says is, I need to be more aggressive on offense. I need to be more aggressive on offense. And
let's see it.
I mean, yeah, obviously easier said than done, but like, come on, like, it's been months that you've been saying it. And I think that our team is really unstoppable when Jimmy and Bam are like teed up like that. I think Jimmy needs to kind of also take control. He said he was 100% locked in before the playoffs, and I really haven't seen that come to fruition yet. I think he has the capability, and I don't know, it makes me feel like he like likes to be the underdog. So he's like, okay, that we're 0-2,
you know,
but like,
Jimmy loves to be the underdog.
Exactly. I think if Jimmy and Bam are in sync, and then Goron's able to step up tonight, like, there's no way we're losing. I think Goron, just seeing him back in his playoff flow like he was last season, game one, he performed tremendously. Yeah. Duncan was also good game one. I think Duncan in home court advantage tonight is going to be off the charts. Like, if he starts hitting those threes, if he starts hitting those threes and the crowd gets electric, like, he's going to be craving that shit. I remember before the bubbles or the Corona season, like, coronavirus canceled the season, I was at a game, we were playing the Magic, I think that was like the game that he like tied the most threes either in one game, I think, on the Heat. And I remember just watching him, and I'm like, shit, like, he is gonna be a problem. And like, this is when I thought that the season was gonna go on for a month longer, right, into playoffs, which obviously didn't happen. But I think him at home, like, there's no better person to have home court advantage towards but Duncan Robinson.
Duncan, and also Tyler, too. Tyler is one of those players where, like, if he lights a spark and, like, he gets going, like, you look at him in the finals last year, Yeah, that one game where he put up like what 35 points, 40
Yeah, like
points. Like, that
crazy.
was insane. Like, I've been waiting for that Tyler Hero all year. And got a little bit. I went to go see a Pels Bucks game earlier this season. I mean, I was like the one Heat fan. I was like yelling my ass off at all these Pels fans. But no, like Tyler got it going, Duncan got it going, and like you could feel that, like with a crowd cheering for them, it's like a whole different like game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm super excited. It's gonna be crazy. I'm ready. Like, there's nothing like Heat home court advantage. And I don't know. We'll see. I think that if Tyler locks in, if Duncan locks in, if Jimmy locks in, and Ban locks in, like, there's no way we're losing this
Yeah,
game. But I don't know.
we need to see some fucking finals, Jimmy, though. Like that game where he's like where he
Yeah.
like where he what was that, the game three, game four, he had like a 40
Yeah.
point triple double. Like that's the Jimmy we gotta see right now. I know it's only the first round. I know we got a whole playoffs ahead of us, but I need to see that ferocity. I need to see that energy from him.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I've been listening to like a lot of, obviously on Twitter, I've been seeing a lot of things. I've listened to a bunch of NBA podcasts, and it seems to me that even though the Bucks maybe not, I mean, game one, I think they did outperform us just because of the way that Jimmy and Bam didn't play well for game one, but game two especially, even though they're up a two up two against us, like everything that I've seen and listened to really has been focused on the narrative of like how the Bucks can beat the Heat. And that makes me think that there's like a cohesive and collective idea that like the Heat can very much be able to come back. And I think that in comparison to all the round one series that are going on, like it's been a really interesting season. And I think a lot of matchups are going to go past four games, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, like we win these next two games, it becomes a 3-game series.
Right.
And
Yeah.
I don't like, so basically that first game toss up, we could have won, we could have lost, we could have won. But game two, like after that horrible first quarter, we basically like ran the pace with them. It could have been like a last second shot, but we gave up 45 points in the first quarter. And basically the Heat looked
Which is
cheated.
ridiculous to even think about 45 points in the first quarter to begin with.
No, like they were just hitting every shot, and like I was at a gig, and I like looked down at my phone and be like, "What the fuck is going
Yeah,
on? I couldn't even
yeah.
watch the game."
Yeah, exactly. I landed in Miami Airport and everyone kind of checked their phones or like we're in customs line and everyone's like, "What is going on? Like, what is this?" Like everyone just had that depleted mentality, but I think tonight everyone's excited to watch and the playoffs in general, like having the fans back, having this energy back, it's been a long time and I'm excited. Definitely down to talk about some of the other matchups that are happening around the league.
And let's start with LeBron. What do you think about his antics the last couple of games? Like first the poked eye with Draymond, that was fucking ridiculous. I mean, I love LeBron when he was on the Heat. I've become a LeBron hater in the past like 3 years. Just he's been ridiculous. But when he like when he said he saw three baskets, I was like, okay, this man's beyond ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, I ever since LeBron left the Heat, I've not been a fan of him just because I'm salty. But personally, like, I think if I wasn't a Heat fan, he didn't leave us high and dry like that. Like, there's no way you can't like him. He's an unstoppable player, but just like the things that he stands for and the presence he has on social media about the things he believes in, like, I really identify with like him just doing him, and I really like that about him. In terms of him as a player, obviously he's a beast, but he's ridiculous. Like he runs the NBA. Like to start it all off, like okay, him versus Golden State when he got the poked eye, I saw a tweet and it was like injuries this week around sports and how long players like were on the ground for. I'm not really a big baseball fan, so I don't know the pure details, but a player
Oh,
like his
yeah,
face
Kevin
got
Hart.
yeah, his face is completely unrecognizable. And like it was like that guy was on the floor for like 26 seconds in pain. LeBron was on the floor because of his eye for 80 seconds.
No, like
Like,
even okay, fast forward another game, that game where you saw Chris Paul like pulled his arm. So basically he was on the floor, right? Because his arm hurts. There was a fight. He gets up, walks to where the fight was, and then takes a knee and crumbles over again. Like he needs the spotlight to be on him, and it's just
I
ridiculous.
know. And it's just like there's been so much drama around the league with like not following league protocols, and then like he goes out to a tequila party with Michael B. Jordan and Drake, and like no one gives a fuck. Like, what is that? Seriously. Yeah, but, like,
in what world do you see Adam Silver suspending LeBron for the playoffs?
It's never, because it's all about the ratings.
Exactly. No, it's, that was fucking, like, when I saw he was out with Drake, I'm like, what the fuck? And then he lost the game too, and that was the best part.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. I when I see that matchup, Suns-Lakers, I just can't count LeBron out. Like, I know that the Suns are on fire. I've honestly loved watching them this year. Chris Paul, Jay Crowder, like, I love their squad, low key. Like, it's a great squad to be a part of. But like,
he's future MVP of the league.
Literally. But like, how do you count LeBron James out? You can't.
No, and like, the thing about LeBron is like, he could flip that switch. Like, he hit this one like turnaround jumper at the end of the game, and I was like, yep, LeBron's gonna hit that when he needs to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The Lakers play a little dirty. Anthony Davis's flagrant on Jay Crowder was, like, rude. Straight up rude.
Like, I mean, he shot – so Jay Crowder basically missed his next three threes after that, like, hit to his nuts. And, like, why do you think that was? Man was down bad. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, like, obviously there was an issue going on there. But I don't know. Lakers play dirty. I can't count them out because LeBron can flip the switch. But if the Suns make it through, I'll be very happy for them.
Yeah, I was honestly rooting for the LeBron to lose in the play-in just because that would have been so entertaining.
Yeah, that would have been lit.
No, but there's been some other good matchups. Like, I was really looking forward to this Grizzlies, what's it called, Jazz matchup, even though they got blown out last night. I think the Grizzlies are really, really a good up-and-coming team in the NBA. That, like, Ja put up 41 points.
Ja.
He's something else. I don't know. I was really excited for this Wizards series against who are they playing?
76ers.
I mean, the 76ers are always gonna win this series, but something about Westbrook, he's like once in a lifetime type player. Like, obviously his stats are way bigger than his actual impact on the game, on like the game itself. But he puts up ridiculous stats. Like, no one since Oscar Robertson, who's considered one of the greatest players of all time, is putting up these kind of stats.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why he's so hated, but, like, I like it. Like, I like his style of play. Like, he's a mean dude, and, like, sometimes you need to be a mean dude. And, like, he doesn't need to prove himself to anyone at this point. Like, he wants what he wants. He left the Rockets. He's on the Wizards. He's changing it up. Him and Bradley Beal are a good duo on that team. And when they're in sync, it's competitive.
And I was a big advocate at the beginning of the season for Westbrook to come to the Heat. I thought he has, like, the right culture for the Heat. Kind of like, put your head down, do what you got to do to win the game. And even though he's a brick, we got shooters on our team. Like, Westbrook could pass to Duncan. Like, it's not a problem.
Yeah, definitely. What other matchups are going on? Oh, this has honestly become my favorite matchup of the playoffs so far. Knicks-Hawks. Ever thought that shit would ever happen?
Like, I mean, first of all, like, no one ever expected the Knicks to ever do anything in this. And Julius Randle has been one of the most fun stories. I mean, I gotta say, fuck the Knicks just as a Heat fan. Like, I never want to see them win. But no, Julius Randle and then the reemergence of Derrick Rose has been amazing. And then, I mean, Trae Young, like, one of those other guys, like, future MVP of the league. Like, he's been shooting lights out.
He's a superstar.
And he's been setting the stage, like, what he said, like, they lost yesterday, but he said, see you in Atlanta. Like, you know, he's ready to play. He knows what he got to do. He has, like, that playoff mentality, which you love to see.
Yeah, definitely. I love that energy. So we've spoken about 76ers, Wizards, and Knicks, Hawks, which are the top of the bracket. If we move on after the Bucks, we're probably going to play the Nets, which just sucks.
I mean, the Nets, it's like, it's not even fucking fair.
Like, they're not consistent either, though.
They aren't consistent, but look, let's say KD's having an off day. You still have Harden. Say Harden's having an off day. You still have Kyrie. Let's say Kyrie's also having a hard day. You still got Joe Harris.
Yeah, no, like...
Even one more. Let's say Joe Harris is having a bad day. You still got Blake Griffin, who's somehow looking good again.
Exactly. Like, I don't know what they're up to over there, but I don't know the way... I don't feel bad for Boston because I honestly hated them in the playoffs last year. Like, we played them in the last round before the finals, right?
Like literally, like also the media was disrespecting us so much in that series. They were calling
Literally,
the
fuck
Daniel
that.
Tice Bam matchup a wash, as if Daniel Tice is like a top player in the league.
Right.
And then Bam literally ended the series on the first game when he blocked Tatum to win the game.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate the Bucks more than Boston, though. I don't know. I like the younger vibe of Boston, but like there's some players on the Bucks that really just piss me off for some reason, and I don't know why.
It's like, ooh, it's what's his name? It's there's one player who looks like a kid that I go to school with. Oh, Donnie DiVincenzo. Like, I hate
Yes, that's yeah,
it.
that's the guy. That's the guy I hate. I don't know why I hate him. I just do. Like straight
Because
up.
he'll hit a big shot against us, and that shit hurts because it's
Right.
Donnie DiVincenzo.
Because you're like, shit. I saw a tweet and they called it was like the Greek freak and the spicy meatball. And I was like, what the hell?
I hate that. I hate that so much.
I despise that. Like, why would they ever try and start that? But yeah, that's pretty much what's going on in the East, the West, Lakers, Suns, Nuggets, Trailblazers. That's a good
That's gonna
matchup
be
too.
that's but I mean the Nuggets, I thought the Nuggets could have been contenders until Jamal Murray got injured. Like that shit
Yeah.
sucks. You hate to see an injury right before the playoffs.
I know,
But no,
he's a good guy.
Jokic's my MVP choice, like no doubt.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be good for the league to have a like a center win it. A center hasn't won it since Shaq in like 03
Yeah.
or
No,
whatever that was.
they're an exciting team. A lot of teams around the league are like young and exciting all of a sudden, but when I look at that Nuggets Trailblazers matchup, like I love Dame, I love Melo, I love all that. So it's hard.
Dame time's ridiculous, and like people will be hating on him for his deep shots, but he keeps hitting them. Like
Yeah.
logo, like if you're shooting 40% from the logo, keep taking them shots.
Yeah, literally. And then last matchup in the West is Clippers Mavs, which at this point, like,
Who cares?
why is that still on TV?
Clippers are
Like,
the most overrated team of all time.
I know I saw a little teaser that maybe Kawhi would be in the Heat next season.
I mean, I would take Kawhi and a goddamn art out, but like, what would we have to give up? We would have to give up Tyler, probably. We might have to give up Duncan, which honestly, for Kawhi, I would do. Because the big three, Kawhi, Jimmy, Bam, is one of the
Yeah.
most unstoppable big threes in the league.
I see Kawhi, even though he's a quiet guy, just low key vibing with the Heat.
No, I think him and Jimmy would get along because it's like, you know, that tweet, like, oh, girlfriend who talks a lot, boyfriend who doesn't. Like,
Yeah,
that'd be Jimmy and
literally.
Kawhi.
That's hilarious. That's true.
You want to talk a little NFL since we're here?
Yeah, wait, before we talk a little NFL, let's do like who we think are winning each matchup. So, Grizzlies, Jazz.
That's gonna be Jazz. Jazz are too good.
Yeah, they're dramatic, but they're good. You can't count them out like
I mean,
that.
Rudy Gobert, I hate to say it, that's Defensive Player of the Year right there.
Yeah. All right, next matchup, Suns Lakers.
That's going to be the Suns at seven.
I hope you're right. I gotta say Lakers. I can't count LeBron out like that.
I'm wishful thinking, you know.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Cat Mavs Clippers.
Clippers in, or Mavs in fourth or a sweep. Maybe in five, but yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
The wash.
Nuggets Trailblazers.
Nuggets are going to take that, but it might go to six, might go to seven.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a long series. Nuggets taking it. And then in the East, Knicks Hawks.
I think it's going to be the Hawks. The Knicks are too young of a team. Like, I mean, they're good, but I don't know. Something about the Hawks. They look special this year.
I agree. And having that first win in New York and then coming home to Atlanta for two, I don't see them losing either of those games.
No chance.
All right, 76ers, Wizards.
That's going to be the Sixers. It's going to be a sweep, probably, but you know,
We'll
it's the
see.
Sixers are really good this year.
If Westbrook is hurt, then it's 76ers 100%. But that could go on to, I could see that becoming like a 6-7 game series if they get their shit together.
I don't know. Like, it's already 2-0. I don't know. I don't see it happening.
All right, Heat Bucks, Heat.
In six, we're winning the next four. No doubt in my mind.
Let's go. And then finally, Nets Celtics.
It's gonna
Nets,
be the Nets.
obviously.
See them in the second round.
Yeah. All right. And then switching gears a little bit while we're here. NFL, Julio, obviously at the front of the conversation right now.
What we're, I mean, the news all week has been he's connected to the Pats and the Titans. It Matt, like, I'm just thinking, like, we get Julio Jones, we could get Cam Newton back into form with him. Cam Newton sucks, we'll throw Mac Jones in. It doesn't even matter. Like, because we just signed Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry this offseason. And then we throw in Julio. That's basically three of the biggest receivers in the NFL.
Yeah.
Based on pure
I'm
stats.
if he I saw a tweet a few hours ago that the Titans are not looking like a possibility, but that would be insane if he ended up there. Like, that would change it up. I know you're a big Brady fan, but I just can't see anything else happen to make Tampa like a contender again. I don't want to
Oh,
see I
I see. Out of the NFC, like, the NFC is so weird right now because, like, Seattle's kind of on the decline, but they're also on the up and up. Saints, I don't know what we're doing. I think Jabu's our quarterback this year. I'm not really fully sure.
He's happy. He's ready.
No, he's doing his fucking hip shit, which I love.
Yeah.
It's so
Yeah.
funny. I mean, NFC East, not one team will make it past the first round. People are so high on Dallas. I don't know why. They've been
I don't
shit.
know why. I've never liked Dallas. It's too flashy for me. Not enough progress or results that come out of there.
You know, I think this is, I think we're in a really cool place with the NFL where it's starting to kind of feel like the NBA, where any year, any team, because I mean, the Pats dynasty, it's on hiatus for the next couple of years until Mac
Yeah.
Jones develops.
Yeah, I
Quote
mean,
me on that.
I was talking about it today, even though like with like these Julio like things that with the players trying to like recruit them to their teams, like that's so NBA culture right there. And like
Yeah.
they're finally making it fun and like good. The NFL should be fun, and the NFL is just not fun recently. And like I only like love the NFL because I love what comes along with it. Fantasy, obviously, and the hype of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no,
That's
it's
you
the
can't
best.
replicate that, but it's NBA is just so much better than the NFL in my opinion.
When it comes to just like the entertainment off the field.
Yeah, and then I think the other big story that's happening in the NFL is Aaron Rodgers drama, which is so interesting.
What do you think? I mean, I don't see a world where he doesn't go back to the Packers.
How can he leave? I mean, I don't even imagine him on any other team, but I just think it's hilarious that he's in Hawaii right now with
Miles Teller.
Shailene Wood, yes,
Yeah.
Shailene and Miles Teller during like OTAs. And like, meanwhile, like the Dolphins have over 80 players at OTA. Like, who, like, Brian Flores is doing an amazing job as head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
No, I'm really excited to see. I mean, I'm always a Dolphins hater just from my Pats background, but I'm excited to see what the Dolphins do this year. Well, who was y'all's draft pick? Was it Ja'Marr Chase, or was it no, it was the other guy. It was
I don't
Jalen
know.
Waddle. Jalen Waddle, the receiver.
Yeah.
That's gonna be exciting to see Tua like have some like real weapons, because as much as like Dolphin fans love to like rave about Mike Gesicki and Devontae, what's his name? Devonta Parker, they are.
Parker. Yeah, no. But I don't know. I'm excited. NFL seems like a year away with just like the hype of the NBA. Obviously, Kyle Pitts made my day when he got drafted.
No, I think that's the one reason Atlanta fans are going to be okay with getting rid of Julio, because Kyle Pitts
Yeah.
is that good of a player.
Pitts and Ridley together could be a dangerous duo.
And I think they still have like Hayden Hurst, who's like not a shitty, not like he's okay, but he's still like a
Yeah.
good. No, I think it's going to be a really fun NFL season.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited, even more excited for the Heat game tonight right now. But it's been great to kind of have you back on F Words. It's been a long hiatus since I've done an episode. Honestly, second semester kicked my ass. So happy to kind of welcome back in the podcast early in the summer, talking about the Heat with you, Ben. So any last words for the show?
Words.
Yee. All right. Show.
No, let's go Heat. Let's bounce back game, bounce back two games. We're back at home, feeling good. I'm gonna be on my couch at 6:30 with a beer in my hand, ready to cheer on my team.
Definitely. And everyone, thanks again for listening to F Word. Stay tuned for more episodes coming this summer.